Accession number 28896, Reel 13.
Mr. Blewitt, Reel 13. What date did you move to Scotland?
I don't know the exact date. It was September, October, around about that time.
That'd be
1942.
And where did you go to?
We went to Glasgow Station. We entrained at Darlington, went up to Glasgow Station. When we got off the train, there was a little dumpy captain there, and we all got lined up, and we'd set off, like six of us. Then when we got off, there was about nearly 100 of us. Where did they all come from? God knows. And he welcomed us to 239 Company, thanked us for volunteering for combined operations, at which everybody looked at each other and said, combined operation, what's he on about? You got the wrong lot, you know, talking to the wrong people. And somebody happened to mention it, and he said, oh yes, well, it's a branch of combined operations, he said. You'll find that out as you go along. And then there was lorries there to take us into Paisley, a place called Dyke Bar Camp, just outside Paisley. And then the headquarters was a little bit outside, but we were taken to this Dyke Bar Camp. They were sort of split us up. I should have said that to start with. He split us up, and it was just by, we were wanting to keep together, our little six. But it finished up where there was only four of us. One chap, Eric Burleson, he was only a little man. He was a head clerk at the Rowland Mills. And when he got all his uniform on and all his bits and pieces, I used to feel sorry for him. How he walked with it, you know, really humped down with all the lot. Anyway, we didn't see him so much, because when he went into the HQ and told them what he'd been doing, they commandeered him there. He was in the office, and that was him. He was in the HQ all the time. We were taken down and on parade, intermingled with the rest of them. So many of us got put in B platoon, stayed there the rest of the time we were with them, and another with C platoon, some more in C platoon. The officer we had there, well, there was a sergeant, Sergeant Russell. He was a character, very blustery, but good in his way. I believe he'd been a landlord of a pub, but whether it was before he'd joined or whether it was after, I couldn't remember. Could have been after. But he was very—he was a good sort. And the officer was a chap called Lieutenant Gregory, and he wasn't much older than we were. He was only young, 20, I would think, about 23 or something like that. And he come out and welcomed us. You've come to the best platoon in the company. The usual, I suppose everybody said that. And at the time, previous to that, we'd been demoted back to drivers, and we'd have our overcoats. I never thought about it at the time. We took the stripes off our uniform, but the the stripes were still on our overcoat, and my mates as well, being a full corporal, when we'd got into the hut, there was an Isen hut. So it was built on the side of a bank, this dyke bar camp. Seemed to be Nissen huts on the up and down the banks, cook houses and whatnot. So we were just put into this hut with mixed in with the rest of the lads.
You're saying that you had the stripes still on your coats. What happened?
On the overcoat. I never thought about it, you know, when I take them off, because we very rarely had the overcoats on at the time. I just forgot about it until we got in actually into the hut and taken our kit a bit, and the rest of them were saying, "Hey, Lance Corporal, no, not now." You know, and the same with my mate; he was like full corporal. So.
And they were typical Nissen huts.
Yeah, just the same, the usual stove in the middle.
And were all four of you in the same platoon and in the same...
We were in the same, as it happened, just... there was three of us, sorry, three of us. This other one we got to know. Three of us, that was myself, Clarkson and Saunders. He was from Newport in Wales, but he was a good lad, and he was on the football team, that's how. And needless to say, when we'd hardly got settled in, and there was a Lance Corporal come in, not in our hut, and he come in, "Any of you play football?" My mate Clarkson, "Oh, these two. "Oh, right," we said, and took our names and whatnot, like, you know, what position we played and whatnot. Seemed more interested in that. But he was all right, Lance Corporal, Larry Walker, they called him. And he was all right. He said we'd only have a practice match, a bit of friendlies with the other platoons, but that come later on, you know.
I was saying, they were very keen to know if you were a sportsman.
Oh, sportsman, yeah, if you knew you were anything like that. Because at the time, this company had been on different schemes that waterproofed all the wagons, and had been already onto a scheme, go out and go into landings and whatnot up Scotland up there. And so we were more or less thrown in there. We when they were expecting, when this captain had said a combined operation, we were expecting all sorts, you know, but they'd already did a bit of practicing on it.
Did you ever, you said you didn't get involved with waterproofing the vehicles yourself?
No, because they were already done.
How was it done, you know?
Well, they had this extensions off the exhaust that used to come up against your cab, sticking up alongside your cab, about a foot or so above. And it was all waterproofed up from the engine and on these extensions all the way up. But we never actually done it because they were already done.
So you didn't know yourself how it was done?
No, we're just hoping that it worked. Apparently they did, because they'd used them on practice landings. So then we were taken out, this officer and the sergeant, they took us out and put us onto wagons to see what we could drive all right, and they took us around Glasgow, you know, in and out, traffic changing over, and then they come back to the camp, and he said, he just recited some of the names off. There was two drivers to each lorry, and he just said, when he shouted my name out, he said, you'll get this lorry. The rest of them were like second drivers. And my mate kidded me on a bit. You must have showed yourself a bit, like, you know, going around Glasgow, and you got a lorry straight away. But what happened was, the chap whose lorry I got, he was in Barlinnie, in the prison, in the military prison. He got about 28 days detention or something. So they give me Louis Tabash, that's what they called him. And he was the only coloured man in the company. He was an ex-professional boxer from Newcastle. And a very nice man. I forget what his professional name was, but Louis Tavash was the chap.
Did he rejoin you eventually?
Sorry?
Did he rejoin you from the prison? Came out.
Oh, yes, India? Later on. But
I was going to ask you, Riley, I mean, a coloured man amongst a predominantly white people.
He was the only one.
And there was no problems of race or anything of that nature?
Well, there was no racial problem with him. I think, obviously, due to the fact that he was a professional boxer, you weren't going to tread on his toes anyway. But I remember when this corporal, who was within the section, I think there was about half a dozen lorries to each section, this corporal, he said, you'll get Louis' wagon until he comes out, or when he comes out. And that's when I found out about him being here. So he said, just sign here, I said, hang on, what am I signing for? Well, they got the tools and everything. I said, well, I want to see the tools. I said, I'm not signing for anything. Oh. And then we realised what a haphazard way they were going on, very easy going. More or less trusted each other. So when I got the tools out, I laid them out, and he was ticking them off. And there was one or two missing. So he didn't bother him. He just went to the next wagon, got them off them, put them down. He said, all right. I said, yeah, so I'll sign for them. And then, what's the other fella doing? I don't know. But anyway, so I signed for them and got the lorry. And it was a QL lorry, a Bedford QL. It was very high top. Top heavy. I wasn't very struck on them because when you used to go from there was a car where the car park was, and you're backwards and forwards to the camp. Every morning you were lined up. Sometimes you marched, it wasn't very far, a couple of miles up the road to this camp. If it was raining or whatnot, they'd put you all on a lorry and go. Then when you got up there, it was very amusing to start with. Usual, you'd get a few, what the hell they call the game? Pitch and toss. And I thought I was expecting the usual. It's your task for the day, get out under your lorry and do your task. Well, I would do that after. And even some of the corporals were saying like that, pitch and toss. You spent about an hour doing this pitch and toss. If you wanted to, you weren't more or less forced to please yourself, and the others were just hanging about. And I thought, that's just a queer company. But they were very lackadaisical as far as that was concerned. But when it come to the push, they were in. But they seemed to go along with the idea that if there was nothing to worry about, like with as far as we expected, and they were on about, it's all been waterproof. You don't have to bother with that. It's all been done, and we're just having a look, like to see how it had been done, more for our own benefit than anything else. But we never actually got on them to see whether they did work or not. It's all been done before. So we just went along like that up to the car park. Sometimes you did a bit of maintenance, not a lot, because they didn't seem bothered about it. And we found out afterwards that some of the NCOs, the corporals, had come from this other like a holding battalion when I first got called up. And three of them that were in our section that had just been on parade and sort of passed out marching up and down and whatnot, I forget where it was, where they were from, where the camp was. And just this sergeant major come out in front of the parade and said, "Any of you want to be NCOs?" Of course, a lot of them thought, "Oh, this is a gag," so they never bothered. But three of them, yeah, they walked out. Yeah, get away to the quartermasters and get corporal stripes, put them on you, just like that. So obviously, they'd never been on any courses. They wouldn't know how to. They just bumbled along as they went, you know. They were all right. There was only one thought he was a bit officious, but the other two were all right. And then when they found out my mate, Ken, had been a corporal in charge of different things and been on courses and whatnot, they sort of tiptoed round him, you know. But
a bit haphazard, isn't it?
It was haphazard. I thought, what the hell are we coming to a company like this? If we go into on combined operations with people like this, you know, it's going to be a bit dodgy, you know.
Did you do you remember who commanded the company?
Yes, a Major Badley. I don't know. These people, we didn't know whether they were just called up more or less, or. But one of them, Major Badley. He was the OC. There was the workshop officer and this Lieutenant Gregory, like I say, he was our platoon. The workshop officer, I'll get his name later on. He was a Lance Corporal in the Army when the war, regular, when the war broke out. He put in for a commission and he got put in charge of workshops. And he was a real bull-headed. It's the only time you could, the only thing you could call him. He just tried to browbeat his way through all the time. Durham. I should have known that. Captain Durham. He was a captain by the, you know, when the war started.
So he wouldn't be very popular, presumably.
He was terrible. And nobody liked him. Not even his own workshop staff. There was a staff sergeant, Dawson, who was a very nice fella, totally opposite to him. So when he had to come into contact with workshops, which we didn't at the time, until later on, we used to always go and see this staff sergeant, and he was totally different to him. The only time we saw him, he was more or less in the office. He had to go to the office.
Did he know much about vehicles and maintenance? Or
well, the thing was, at that time, you never ever saw him. Whether he was any good at it or not, I don't know. We found out later on that he knew as much as I did. Which at the time was nil, you know. But he tried to bluff his way through. I'll tell you a story later on about him, but it come later on.
And what was the CO like? Did you see much of him?
Not see him at all. Never seen him. When we only seen this captain. I never saw the major at all until. Later on when we went abroad. We'd see him in the distance, but he used to have a second in command with him who seemed to do all his running about. I couldn't tell you his name.
It's surprising that they had this very almost slackness in the unit, that there wasn't any kind of discipline coming down from the top.
No, it was very slack. Russell, Sergeant Russell, used to run our platoon, and the only time he saw the lieutenant was if you had to go in front of me. He welcomed us when we first went in and took our particulars and whatnot, and Like I say, he come out with us when we were getting this driving test, and then he retired to his office, and that was as much as you saw of him. You know, he was a nice fella. But you always think, well, he's only a lad. He's not much older than us. Like, he can't know much. But
was it? Do you think because most of you had some experience?
Yeah, we'd had it.
You're a pretty experienced unit, rather than
Before we were. You got marched up and down. You did all your drills. You went to every morning. If you weren't working, you had your tasks to do on the wagon. So it was beneficial for you to do your tasks, to know any mishaps that were coming. But this lot, they were supposed to do the tasks, but nobody bothered. Nobody checked. They just come round every now and then, a section inspection.
Did that have any result later on when you were actually using the vehicles a lot? Were there more breakdowns than usual? Because of
not
that kind of
not so much. You might go. It never happened to me, so I couldn't say what happened if there was any breakdown on vehicles, and they found you hadn't been doing your tasks. I never found that. It never happened to me, because after about a couple of weeks, Louis come back to the company. So I gladly handed over it to him, and then I was just like a spare driver, which suited me down to go. Then.
Did you have any other duties?
Just the usual. We didn't, at that time, we didn't have any going around different units, supplying them with stuff. We just seemed to be in a state of waiting for something to happen. We went up after we'd been there about a week or so. We went up on the firing range, and that was the only time I'd ever fired the gun even then, and that was, like I say, 1942. And we all went up on this firing range up round Goorock, round that way. And I think we fired about 5 rounds with a rifle, and about 3 or 4 rounds with an anti-tank gun.
The Piat?
Yeah, and I rather like that. They had an old dummy thing in the distance, and I think it was 3 out of 4 shots bang on target, and my mate said to me, "You want to watch yourself? Don't be too clever, they'll be giving you that. You'll have it to carry, you know." So anyway, we were just up there, and at the time, you're looking down into the bay in Goorock, and there was a lot of troop ships there. And we were just saying among ourselves, "Oh yeah, somebody's going to be away shortly." Sure enough, it was us later on. But at the time, it was...
Did you get any opportunity for leisure time in the town?
Oh, yes. It was a nice place, Paisley. And occasionally, you could go into Glasgow. When you were off duty, you didn't bother as long as you were back. And the good thing about it... they never charge you on the bus, on the trams. Any serviceman travel free on the trams. They never come round to you. And different again, like down here. And they had good Salvation Army places, Tuckages. You go and get a meal there on the night, and very good. And it was... Remember once we went into Glasgow, I only went there a couple of times. We went to see Harry Roy and his band on the... And that was, there was plenty of picture houses. There was ice rink in Paisley. I tried my hand at that, was no good. But there was dances, and it was all right. But there was one. I had a trouble with a tooth, and it was a good thing in one respect. But it was a back tooth, and it used to swell up. Jaw used to come up like this. But it never ached, never bothered me that way. But it used to look terrible. Just to go on parade, on a morning. That was another thing on parade. He used to get on parade and the orderly NCO was shouting your name out. Yeah. And there was one or two, here, up from the banks, the Nissenuds, shouting, here, you know. Come on, get yourself down here. You know, it was that how lackadaisical it was. Anyway, this time I was on parade with me, Joe, and he was a sergeant, come on, he said, bloody hell, he said, stayed in it, and I said, oh, try, you better report sick. So I went to report sick. When I seen the doctor, he just looked, he said, well, you can go to the dentist, he said, but I don't know whether he'll do anything. With it being swollen, he'll have to wait till it goes down. Sure enough, when I seen the dentist, oh, he said, you'll have to wait till it goes down, then we'll take it out. So, of course, when it went down, never bothered me. And he used to get off one or two things, like with this. But one day it went up and it stopped up. And so the dentist said, well, I'll have to send you into Glasgow, he said. That was a big dental centre in Glasgow. They used to, all the forces, Navy, Air Force, and the lot used to all congregate at this. So I went into this dental centre, still thinking that they weren't going to do anything. But when I went in to see the dentist, he said, well, there's only one cure for it, it'll have to come out. And I thought, yeah. Now, we'll give you a shot of glass, he said. I thought, oh, that's all right. But he had his orderlies then, his little place, and he had this cylinder, and put the mask on. And I'm just drifting off, and there was it seemed like a bang, and the cylinder had finished, and he played hell with the orderly. You're supposed to have these already filled up. So by the time he got it in again, and I was away again, and but whether it was that or what, as he was pulling the tooth, when I come out, and I come round, he said, go and sit in the waiting room for 5 minutes. So when I come out, I passed this, there was an ATS coming in. She was only about 5 foot. And my mouth was bleeding, and I was all and the... I felt really sorry for her, you know. She looked at me, much as I thought, am I going to get this same thing? Goes into the waiting room, sat down, and this bloke who was, he said, was that you shouting? I said, oh, I don't know. I said, I'm under gas. He said, oh, somebody was, oh. Put the wind up, everybody there.